Good morning. It's good to see everyone here. If you're visiting with us, glad you've come to be with us this morning. And we're glad that you're here to worship with us today and hope that you'll come back every chance that you get. It's good to see Wilson and Julie back. And certainly, I know most of you, along with me, have enjoyed reading about from Facebook the adventure that they had and getting to meet the children that, Lord willing, they will be bringing for us all to meet very soon, I think 3 or 4 months from now. So we all look forward to that. As I said last week, they're becoming a part of their family, but they're also becoming a part of all of our families as they'll join the family here at Veterans Parkway as well. And I know it's something that we're all excited about, that blessing that will occur very soon. Look forward to hearing more about it tonight when Wilson will speak to us. And Luke chapter 12 was our scripture reading this morning that mentioned that we need to not fear man, basically, but the fear that we need to have is fear for God. And after the events of this past week, you may have seen on social media a lot of people that have posted about how scared and how terrified they are now for our country, now that we've elected a new president. You may have seen the videos of people that are in tears and just talking about in dramatic fashion how terribly afraid they are for their future and the future of our country now because of who has been elected. And I guess I'm not trying to make a political statement here. It doesn't matter who was elected president. I think there would be people on both sides that would probably have that sentiment of being fearful and scared of now what's going to become of our country because whoever was elected is in power. But this is a reminder for us that we shouldn't be fearful of things like that because ultimately it's God that's in control. And that's what we're reminded by the Lord here. Don't be afraid of those who kill the body and after that have no more that they can do. Don't be afraid of man, basically, or don't be afraid of those physical things or what might come, but keep a good fear for God. And that's what we need to have in our life. Because there's a lot of fear in the world today. The sky is falling attitude that some people have over this past week. People fear that, you know, there's going to be a nuclear war that's going to wipe out all of civilization right off the earth. Others fear that there's going to be a super virus, maybe that's going to bring disease and wipe out all of mankind. Climate change, it's going to cause the polar ice caps to melt and flood the world and destroy us all. Well, it seems to me I remember God saying that and promising that that worldwide flood would never happen again. One of the dangers, those of having the preoccupation with fears, is that we miss the things that are truly important and we miss the things that we truly need to be concerned with. I believe that that's the point that Jesus is making in his Sermon on the Mount. If you turn to Matthew, the 6th chapter, we're running around all the time constantly with our heads down, worried about earthly things. And we miss the things that we truly need to be concerned with. The most real and pressing problems that have eternal consequences. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 28, Jesus says, "Why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith?" You see, Jesus is saying, don't be concerned with physical things. Don't be afraid of things that might happen. But be concerned with the spiritual things. Those are the things that need to be our concern because God is going to take care of the rest. God's going to give us the things that we need. So why are we going to worry about those things? And while the Bible encourages good stewardship, I think, of the earth that we live upon and things like that, the climate change that we really need to be concerned with is the moral climate change in our world today. That's the climate change that we need to be concerned with. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, Peter warns about our enemy, our adversary, the devil. He says, be sober. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, walks around or prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. That's the adversary that we're against. That's the one that we need to be concerned with. We need to be concerned with him. Over in 2 Peter chapter 3, we see that Paul warns that the moral climate was going to decline and it's going to become worse and worse. And Paul was speaking to Timothy. He says to Timothy, in the days of Timothy, the moral climate's going to decline. And we see over the many years that it continues to decline. But in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1, Paul tells him, realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these. Paul says the moral climate's going to decline. You read those things and we look around us in our society today. Does it look familiar? I think we can all say, yes, it does. Moral climate of our day is continuing to decline. But if you look on down in verse 15, Paul tells Timothy that even though the moral climate around you is going to decline, and even though it continues to decline around us today, and we see all these things that Paul lists here going wrong in our culture, in our society today, there's something that we need to do, and it's the same thing that Paul tells Timothy to do in verse 10. He says, you follow my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions, and sufferings, such as happened to me at Antioch, and Iconium, and at Lystra, at what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, but evil men and impostors will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You, however, continue in the things you've learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. A few things from what Paul told Timothy here that I think is very important for us. He says, continue in what's right. Continue in serving God. Continuing and following the example of Paul. And the way that Timothy was to continue in following the example of Paul, I think we need to continue in following that example as well. Paul says persecutions are going to come. Paul says, I'm persecuted. Timothy, you're going to be persecuted. But don't give up. Don't become fearful, because notice what he says, the Lord rescued me. Paul says, the Lord got me through those persecutions. And Timothy, he's going to get you through those persecutions. And the same message is for us today as well. The Lord will rescue you. And so don't be fearful. Don't think the sky is falling. But instead, trust in God. Because He will rescue us as well when those persecutions come. I also like the fact that Paul mentions that Timothy had learned these things from childhood. That's where it begins. We need to make sure that children are being taught that they too need to persevere. They need to be taught that they don't have reason to fear. There's a lot of fear even among children today, and I think it stems from a lot of the adults. And even within this last week, we see that within our children, how they have become fearful of their future because they're hearing what the adults are saying. We need to instill in our children that God is in control and that it's up to Him and that we can trust Him. And therefore, we don't have reason to fear. Paul wanted Timothy to follow his divine purpose. Paul says, I have a purpose in this life. And Paul's purpose was spiritual, and he wanted Timothy to follow that, to be like him. So for the rest of the lesson today, I'd like to look at Paul's purpose in life, because what Paul wanted Timothy to follow was his purpose in life, and what we need to follow is that same purpose that Paul had. And I think as we read and see the things that Paul taught and how he lived his life, I think it answers the question of what the purposeful life for Paul really was. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, we see that first of all, I think the purpose that Paul had in his life, his purposeful life, the life that he wanted Timothy to follow, the life that we too should follow, is one that he says he was going to live for Christ. When we live for Christ, it gives us a purpose in our life, and it gives us reason not to fear, but a reason to trust in the Lord. In Galatians 2, verse 20, Paul states, "I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." It's about denying ourselves, as Jesus said, if we wanted to follow Him. That we have to deny ourselves to take up our cross to follow Him. And that's basically what Paul is saying that he has done as well. He's denying himself. It's not he who is living, but now he is living for Christ. It's Christ living in him. He's doing what the Lord wants him to do. He's serving the Lord. And we have to be willing to deny ourselves and the fleshly desires that we have and the earthly things that try to draw us away from the spiritual things in order to follow Jesus and to live for Him. To deny those things in order to follow Christ. When we live for Christ, when Christ lives in us, then we will truly see the purpose that we have in our life. We will live a purposeful life, the way that Paul did. And we won't have fear of things of earthly nature that are going on around us, but we'll have trust and faith in God. And we'll be focused on the spiritual things, and that will cause us to be less worried about the physical things when we live for Christ and let Him live through us. In 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 31, I see something else that Paul says concerning his life that shows his purpose in life as well. And again, it's a spiritual purpose that Paul had. In 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 31, he says, "Whatever then you eat or drink or whatever you do," he says, "do all to the glory of God." Whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Everything we do must be to glorify God. That needs to be our focus. It's not to glorify ourselves. It's not to get attention for ourselves. It's to glorify God. It's so that His will be done. It's so that others may see Christ living in us, as our first point was, and that they may come to Christ as well. Glorify God by our life. Let others see the Lord through the way that we live, through the things that we do, by the kindness that we show, by the love that we have, by the compassion that we have for others. Let others see Christ in us so that God will be glorified. That's what Paul did. That was his purpose in life. He went about doing good and preaching the gospel, not so he could get attention or power or fame or anything like that, but he did it so that souls could be saved and God should be glorified. That's our purpose in life. And that really brings us to the next point. If you look two verses down to 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 33, Paul goes on to say, "Just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, so that they may be saved." Paul's purpose in life was the salvation of souls. Doing whatever he could by the way that he lived his life, the example that he left, the things that he taught, enduring persecutions because he was a Christian. Everything he did in his life really was to reach the lost with the gospel. That was his purpose in life. He knew that that's what the world needed. That he had to take the gospel to the world, and the world still needs that today. The world needs the gospel. And his purpose in life was to reach the lost with the gospel. He says, not for his own profit. It wasn't about him, but it was about everybody else. He did what he did. He went through the persecutions that he did so that, as he said, it was for the profit of many, so that they could be saved. That was Paul's purpose in life. Another thing we see in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 15. Paul makes this statement. He says, I will most gladly spend and be expended for your souls. Paul was going to spend himself out for the people of God. He was going to do whatever it took. And he was not going to let up. He was going to persevere. But he was going to give it everything that he had. That's what we must do. That's our purpose in life. Not to do it halfway or half-heartedly, but to do everything that we can. To have a zeal for the Lord and His people. And serving God and serving one another. We need to be willing to spend ourselves out for the people of God. And that was Paul's purpose in life. He said that he would do it. And notice he says, I will most gladly do it. It wasn't something that he did begrudgingly. It wasn't something that he did and thinking, well, you know, I've got to give everything I got, but I'm tired and I don't want to do it anymore. He says, I will gladly do it because that was his purpose in his life. He was willing to be spent out to give everything he had to help those and help others serve God, and ultimately make it to heaven. That was his purpose in life. As Paul came to the end of his life, near the end of his life, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, we still see his purpose in life. That even though he had grown older, and even though he was limited in a lot of the things that he could do, facing being imprisoned even, we see that Paul was still doing everything that he could, even with the limitations that had been placed around him, even to the end. And so his purpose in life as well, as his life came near an end, was to finish strong, to end strong, to finish the course, and to faithfully teach what Jesus had instructed. In 2 Timothy 4 and verse 6, Paul says, I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. And in the future, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Even to the end, Paul was still serving God. And even to the end, we see that he was still fighting to the very end. He fought the good fight of faith. He finished the course. He finished strong. And he did the things that he had to do to serve God and the things that God wanted him to do. He fought the good fight of faith. And also, as we see Paul coming to the end of his journey on this earth, his purpose wasn't over. Even after Paul's death, he still had a purpose. Notice in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, a lot of these things he was writing to Timothy, and Timothy was really one of the ones that was going to kind of take up the banner as Paul had, with Paul after the death of Paul, to really continue the work of Paul. And Paul was not only writing these things to Timothy, but notice what he tells Timothy to do in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2. These things you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Paul saw his purpose even beyond his life. Timothy, go and teach these things. Timothy, endure persecutions. Timothy, go out and continue to do the work that I've been doing. But not only that, Timothy, you need to teach others as well, so that they too can go out and teach. And you can teach the younger generation as well, Timothy, so that when you're gone, the gospel will continue to be taught. You see, Paul had a purpose in his life to leave a legacy beyond just his physical life on this earth. To spread that gospel not only to the people that he came in contact, but even after he was dead and gone, to again for them to continue that work that he had started. And so that was his purpose in life. And really even his purpose in death was still in serving God and spreading the gospel and taking the gospel to the lost. So the purpose that Paul had in his life is the purpose that we need to have in our life as well. We need to be determined to live for Christ and let Christ live in us. That all that we do will be to the glory of God. We need to be determined to reach the lost with the gospel in any way that we can. And to give it everything that we have. Spend ourselves out for God's people. We need to, as we grow older, not let that limit us. But to continue to work and end strong and finish the course faithfully and do the things that Jesus wants us to do. We need to fight the good fight of faith, and we need to be passing on the message of the gospel to the next generation so that the gospel will continue to be taught even after we are gone. You know, I think about the heroes of faith that lived with the same purpose that Paul had in his life. The same purpose that he wanted Timothy to have. The same purpose that really we all need to have. I think of Joshua in Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15. Joshua was determined to lead his family in obedience to God. In verse 15 he says, "If it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served, which are beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Now we need to make that our purpose in life. That I'm going to serve the Lord. It doesn't matter what people around me are doing. It doesn't matter what our society has become. It doesn't matter how bad the moral climate declines. I'm going to serve the Lord. And have that determination, not to be fearful about all those things, but have the determination that I will serve the Lord and that God's going to give me the strength to do so. And put our faith and our trust in Him. I think of Daniel in Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8. It says something very interesting. You know, we know the story about Daniel, and he ended up being cast into the den of lions because he continued to pray after the king had said that he couldn't. But something maybe that is overlooked concerning Daniel is found in Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8. We remember that, but where did all that begin? How did he have that determination in the face of death even, to still serve God? Well, in Daniel 1 and verse 8, it says, "Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with wine which he drank. So he sought permission from the commander of the officials that he might not defile himself." He made up his mind. From the very beginning, he said, "I'm going to serve God. I'm going to do what God wants." That was his purpose in his life, is to serve God. And so we too, we have to make up our mind that we're going to serve God. That nothing's going to come between us and God in our service to Him. The great hero of faith is Daniel because he made up his mind, and we see the results of that determination that he had. Abraham was another great character of faith. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8, he's listed there in that great faith hall of fame, if you will, that's listed there in Hebrews the 11th chapter. Abraham was focused on the heavenly city. He realized that this world was not his permanent home. And that's why we shouldn't really get all upset about a lot of earthly things and things that are going on in the world around us and be fearful of those things, because we're not going to be here that long anyway. And so in verse 8 of Hebrews 11, it says, "By faith Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to the place where he would receive an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going, but faith he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Now, we're a lot like Abraham. This world is not our home. We are pilgrims and sojourners here on this earth. We're looking for our promised land, the land that's promised to us. And so while we're here, this isn't really home. We're looking for home. We're waiting for home. And we're doing what Abraham did. And we need to focus on the heavenly city, the one that awaits us. That's what's truly important. That's our purpose in life, is to find our way home. And while we are on this earth, we're sojourners, we're pilgrims. This is not our permanent place. And therefore, our focus, our purpose in this life is to move on to the next and to live away in this life so that heaven can be our home, that we can make it to where our true home really is. There in Hebrews 11 as well, it talks about Moses, another great character of faith. In verse 24, it says, "By faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasure of sin." A determination again that Moses had in his life. He understood his purpose in life was to serve God, to be part of God's people. Now, he gave up a lot. The grandson of the king of Pharaoh, the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He gave up that. Think about the prestige that goes along with that. Think about the power. Think about the luxury that goes along with that. But instead, he gives that up to suffer ill treatment with the people of God. He understood that there was more than just the life on this earth. He understood that his purpose wasn't about everything that he could get now. He understood that there was something far greater. And when we understand that, we won't be fearful and all worried about earthly things, but we'll stay focused on the spiritual things that we need to be focused on. And that's what Moses did. You know, the purpose that Jesus states of why he came to this earth is stated in Luke 19 and verse 10, where he says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost." That should be our purpose as well, is to seek and save the lost. That's what Jesus was all about. He didn't get wrapped up in physical things. He didn't get wrapped up in politics and all that kind of things that was going on in the world even in the day that he lived. He kept his focus on the spiritual. He kept his focus on the purpose that he came to seek and save that which is lost. So the question for us is, do you have a purpose in life? Matthew 9 and verse 36, when Jesus arrived, he observed the multitudes were just wandering around. No purpose in their lives. It says in verse 36, "Seeing the people, he felt compassion for them, because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd." What Jesus saw was people leading lives with really no purpose. They were worrying about so many things, but they really, the things they were worrying about were not really worth their attention in the first place. Jesus came to the world and told us what's really important. He came to this world and gave us a purpose in our life. He really came and told us what is the big deal, what the big deal really is. And the big deal is obeying God and remaining faithful to Him and being concerned not with the earthly and the physical things, but with a concern for us to avoid drifting spiritually. The Hebrew writer tells us in Hebrews 2 and verse 1, "For this reason, we must pay much closer attention to what we've heard, so that we do not drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved unalterable, and the every transgression and disobedience received a just penalty, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? After it was first spoken through the Lord, it was confirmed to us by those who heard." We need to be concerned with not drifting away. We need to be concerned with spiritual things, not worldly, earthly things. Those are the things that need to be at the top of our list of concerns. And that's what the Hebrew writer tells us. Worrying and being fearful of earthly things shows a lack of faith and trust in the one who is in control. And of course we know that is God. God's in control. I'm His child. Why should I be afraid? By keeping a focus on our true purpose in life, we won't be fearful. A focus on spiritual things, we're not going to be fearful of the things that really aren't a big deal. But we'll focus on the thing that really is, and that is serving God and doing the things that He has commanded us to do. So, you mean who the president is? That's not really a big deal? It really isn't. It really isn't. Are you serving God? Well, that's the big deal. That's what we need to be concerned about. Are you pleasing the one who not only controls what happens to your physical body, but the one who will judge your eternal soul? That's the big deal. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13. Solomon's conclusion will be mine this morning too. The conclusion when all has been heard is fear God and keep His commandments. Because this applies to every person, or this is the whole duty of man, it says it's translated. Your purpose in life, fear God and keep His commandments. That's our purpose in life. Stay focused on what matters. And then put our trust in God that He's going to take care of everything else, because God is the one that's in control. And if you're here this morning and you look at your life and you realize that you've not been obedient to God and you need to make that commitment to Him through repenting of your sins and being baptized, becoming His child. Maybe you're going through life fearful now because you don't have Him as your Father. Well, put your faith and your trust in Him this morning and obey the gospel plan of salvation. Come to Him, receive forgiveness of all your past sins, and have the hope of eternal life. We hope you'll do that this morning if you've not. If as a Christian, maybe you've been fearful in your life and it's caused you to doubt and caused you to become unfaithful to the Lord, pray to God that He will strengthen you, and He will. Repent of sins and turn back to Him. And if we can encourage you and help you and pray with you this morning, we stand ready to help you in any way if you'll respond while we stand and sing.